Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay. We're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on season 4 of The Flash. We're going to be doing this in two parts. And this first part here is going to cover the first, 9 episodes of the season, which we've just finished watching. We figured we'd do this batch since we hit the hiatus for the
winter.
The winter and stuff for the holidays. Lest we get to the end of the season, it's like, what happened at the beginning? Because these are decent length seasons these days. 20 episodes thereabouts. And with so many shows in play, it can get kind of hard to keep track of everything.
Well, especially with a 5 or 6 week hiatus.
Yeah. Well, with this show, and of course we may spoil a few things about Supergirl, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, and other related shows. Previous season ended with Flash going off to the Speed Force. Mm-hmm. So they picked up here a couple of months later. Iris has been running the team, and they've gotten into a pretty good rhythm. But they realize they can get Barry back. Samurai Android attacks, saying, I'm coming after the Flash. It's like, oh, well, let's get the Flash then. That was the impetus for why now.
Yes.
And they bring him out of the Speed Force. And do it in a way that it causes another 10 people to get powers.
Yeah.
And, of course, over the course of the first half of the season, we get to know a couple of them.
Which takes us back to the roots of the show in a few ways.
It does, and it's interesting because the big bad for this season so far, the Thinker, was one of the other people empowered at the particle accelerator accident at the beginning of the series. Mm-hmm. So they're not going away from that, but it allows them to have a couple of people now, 3-4 years later, that are still brand new to their powers.
Yeah. Well, and we're back to the every week we are having the person who is relatively new to their powers, and for lack of a better expression, they're kind of flaunting them because they're new to them, they're playing with them, and they can't help but get caught because they don't know what they're doing.
Let's see, one of them had luck powers.
Yeah.
Another one had, one of them is Ralph Dibny, who's joined the cast, is recurring, and he has stretching powers. He was a Justice League member during the satellite era, among other eras. Mm-hmm.
They had the computer virus guy.
Right. Was that Kilgore?
Yes.
Okay. And they've had the one they just dubbed Brainstorm. Now, if you think about it, he was going to the airport because he mm-hmm. worked there. And we know Aminette, the other kind of big bad for the season, who's played by Katie Sackhoff, was a
stewardess.
So I don't know how long she's had powers or whatnot, but it's not out of question that she was on the bus.
It sounded like actually she got them from the particle accelerator, based on what she said in this final episode, because she was saying several years ago.
Okay. I missed that part. And they're doing quite a bit here. I've got kind of mixed feelings. I'm not too crazy about the direction or kind of the tone, the style they've taken the Thinker in, but it works. Another, really smart genius guy in a wheelchair kind of a thing. It's like been there, done that on this show.
Yeah.
But having somebody who can outthink the fastest man alive makes sense.
Yes.
And can outplan him.
Yeah, well, and the way they did of kind of he was trying to power up a thinking cap that would be the fastest thinking supercomputer, if you will, mm-hmm. around. To me, it was the thinking equivalent of the Flash, which I did kind of like.
It's kind of augment the brain and stuff, and that works. Mm-hmm. And I guess part of it, though, is it requires the writers to really up their game a bit.
Yes.
And have thought things through and set stuff up. And so far, it's holding. It works. They seem to have...
Yeah, but like there was one thing in that 9th episode where I'm looking at it, and before they did their reveal, I'm like, I can already feel what they're going to tell us happened, and I'm looking at them going, you characters are idiots if what I think happened happened. Mm-hmm. Which is, you rescue somebody, say, here, come with us to safety, you take him to safety, and you don't keep him in a safe place, knowing the bad guys are still on the loose for even an hour. It's just, we took you to safety, now you're on your own, but we're going to invite you to Christmas dinner later that night.
If there had at least been, I've got to go check on my family, let them know I'm okay kind of a thing.
Yeah.
There were some aspects there that were a little odd, but it definitely, it's interesting because it essentially allows them to swap out actors.
Yes.
For a character. Yeah. And the first guy was doing a good job. And the way they write that actor, but not the character, out,
mm-hmm.
Sets up, you know, where they're going to presumably pick up after the hiatus. And I believe one of the titles is The Trial of the Flash.
Well, but it also puts the wife character in an interesting situation.
Mm-hmm. It definitely shakes up the dynamic a bit, mm-hmm. All the way around.
I think there was a lot going on in these 9 episodes about back in season 1, Barry wanted his powers. Barry accepted his powers mm-hmm. gladly, that kind of thing. Whereas here, we were seeing, especially with Killer Frost, the people who didn't want their powers or people who had no clue how to cope with the powers, a la Dibny.
Mm-hmm.
And just even once he accepted the powers, it's, but I don't want to use them. They benefit me not at all. And I can't see using them to benefit others, not for good or evil.
Yeah. Well, not all people are cut out to be either superheroes or supervillains or whatnot.
Yeah. So there was a lot more thought in these 9 episodes, I felt, about just acceptance of powers and use of powers.
Well, and the fact that they've been able to go back to the well of, you know, people get new powers, how do they react and stuff, that they've gone over quite a bit for a couple of seasons now.
Yeah.
And still have some fresh material, I thought was good. And I do think that they've kind of upped their game in some respects in terms of planning and thematics and stuff like that.
Well, and Kilgore, at least initially, he was going after specific individuals
mm-hmm.
with his viruses and stuff. He wasn't just this grand, I'm going to take down anyone I can take down.
Yeah, it was much more targeted.
And the lady with the luck power wasn't actually malicious.
She'd had a really, really long run of bad luck, and now it was her chance.
Yeah.
Her time.
Yeah, and her attitude was almost a, you know, if my luck comes at the cost of other people having a day with bad luck, I mean, maybe it's their turn to have some bad luck.
There's a bit more moral ambiguity in some of it.
Yeah.
They've taken Wally, Kid Flash, and he's no longer a regular. He's recurring at best.
Yeah.
But I think part of that was to make room for Ralph.
Yes.
And I got mixed feelings on that. Elongated Man is one of the characters most associated with the Flash.
If they were doing more, or if I felt they were doing better with him, I wouldn't miss Wally so much.
Yeah, and their take on Elongated Man is almost half Plastic Man, half Elongated Man.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm hoping they do is they introduce Sue, who is his wife in the comics, and the two are... It's funny because the way they're portraying Barry and Iris as the inseparable couple really is how Ralph and Sue are in the comics.
Oh, how funny.
I mean, they've been referred to as the Nick and Nora of the Justice League, those being famous movie detectives from, I'm going to say, the 40s or some such. I mean, way back.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot they can do with Ralph, but so far it's almost been a, I don't want to say a bad Jim Carrey take on the character.
Oh, but that's a good description, actually. Mm-hmm.
Particularly when he was first introduced, it seemed like it was almost a young Jim Carrey persona.
Well, and that was the point at which Barry and Iris were going to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And there was kind of the, you know, take him to therapy with you approach to life.
It's funny because, I mean, they've got a number of characters in the comics that are heavily associated with the Flash. Firestorm had been a backup feature in the Flash comic for a long time, hence having that character in a previous season, and a lot of the Firestorm characters in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Elongated Man is one of the ones that would hang out with the Flash on a regular basis. The other one that's most associated with the Flash in the comics is Green Lantern. And there have been teases of that, but due to the movie and whatnot, they haven't pulled him in, the movie from a number of years back that didn't do well. If they can find a way to bring that character in, I think that would be very interesting. But it's gotten to the point where across these shows, and a lot of it being here on Flash, but not exclusively, they've gotten most of the satellite era Justice League brought in. The main ones they have not pulled in across these shows, I think really comes down to, I think, Zatanna, and I'd have to go back to the list of the characters. Which is funny because Zatanna was in Smallville a couple of times and was played by the actress who plays Medusa in Inhumans.
Oh, interesting.
And I think Flash would be a very interesting show to bring Zatanna in on because they're all science. And she's magic.
Oh, yeah.
But don't know if they're going to do that or not. Again, there's a very clear arc this season. I did worry a little early on when it's like, okay, they're the 10 people on the bus that have powers and let's start checking them off.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. But it's working reasonably well. The one thing they did that I want to go back and see if we can itemize the list of these. They had the Council of Wells.
Oh, yes.
Because Harry's... were we on Harry, Harrison?
We're HR? On Harry.
Harry, okay.
Harry's not very good at making friends, but apparently Harry can get along with himself pretty darn well.
Yeah. So we're back to the Earth 2 Harrison Wells, not to be confused with HR, or the original Harrison Wells, or the Harrison Wells that was replaced by Eobard Thawne, the Reverse Flash, or any of the Wells from these other Earths that we've gotten.
Yeah.
And between the Council of Wells and kind of the fishing expedition of let's go toss this conundrum out and see which Wells replies, or yeah, which geniuses reply, we've hit probably at least a dozen Earths, Harrison Wells.
Yeah.
So that actor may wind up getting the record for having played the most, quote-unquote, different characters in a single TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just funny.
He's rivaling Tatiana Maslany, at least.
We haven't watched all of the Orphan Black seasons, but as far as I had watched, which I think was, did we get two or three seasons in?
I know we got two seasons in. I'm not sure about three.
We might have started the third, and I think there's a fourth and a fifth. As of the point we had watched, I think there are more Harrison Wells than there are clones.
Interesting.
In Orphan Black. But I'd have to make a list on both sides. She does the better job, because I think those are more interesting characters.
Yeah.
These here with Harrison Wells are caricatures.
Yes. Yeah.
What else do we get here this season that is worth talking about?
Well, we got that Caitlin Snow seems really unaware of what Killer Frost does.
They're definitely playing up a split personality kind of thing between Frost and Snow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if they're going to get it to where, as Caitlin, she gets control of the powers.
You know, in the four-part crossover that we're...
Earth X, yeah.
Yeah, that we're probably going to do its own episode on.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, well, but the only two parts that are highly relevant here is the wedding did finally take place.
Mm-hmm. Barry and Iris are married.
And I think it was Rory who basically had a few separate times with Snow where it's, are you scared yet? Are you angry yet? Get scared. Get angry. Because he was trying to figure out how to bring out Killer Frost on demand. Because he knew eventually he may need Killer Frost at his side.
Well, it was funny because when Caitlin encounters Rory at Jitters for the wedding rehearsal or whatever it was, he's like, didn't I kidnap you once?
Yes.
She's like, yes, and don't do it again.
Yes.
There were a couple of moments in the Crisis on Earth X crossover where there's some really good character moments.
Yeah.
Between the different shows. And there are a lot of characters that are similar-ish across the shows and very different. And I love, and part of what I'm liking both about The Flash and all the other shows is, I'm loving this universe they're building.
Yes.
Because like I said, most of the Satellite era, and for that matter, Detroit era Justice Leaguers, Aquaman is the other one they haven't done. They've teased Atlantis on Earth 2.
Yeah.
But most of the Satellite era Justice League, other than the, well, Superman, we've got on Supergirl.
Yes.
Okay. We've seen Themyscira in Legends of Tomorrow, but we don't have Wonder Woman yet.
Yes.
And I think Charisma Carpenter would be very interesting casting for that.
Yes.
And I would bring her in Supergirl.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
If for no other, for a couple of reasons. One, girl power kind of a thing. Seems like a good place to put it. And we've already had Linda Carter as the president on that show. Having Linda Carter and another Wonder Woman be kind of cool. And I think it would be a good play with Supergirl. Batman's the other one we haven't seen. That's a little harder to bring in. Again, I would probably put that on the Supergirl Earth in that show. But most of the other Justice Leaguers, other than, like I said, Aquaman and Zatanna, we've had Hawkman, we've had Hawkgirl. Ever so briefly, a time or two, we've had Red Tornado.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Elongated Man, the Atom. Again, I'm trying to remember all of them. Green Arrow, Black Canary. It's been a little while since the Satellite era. This is like the 80s era Justice League, Martian Manhunter. But just they've built up such a large roster of characters that if and when one or two of these shows ends, they could easily take some of these secondary characters and say, okay, you're now this team on this world.
Yeah.
Which you could argue they did on Legends of Tomorrow.
And there were some people that didn't want to give the show a chance because of that.
And I can understand that. It felt like the cast-offs or the...
The leftovers.
The leftovers or whatever. Yeah. But if you bring another character or two in to kind of anchor a show, which I think you could do. Because really, if you brought in Aquaman, who was the leader during the Detroit era, the other ongoing Justice Leaguers were, I believe, Black Canary, Martian Manhunter. You'd have Batman, but we'll ignore him for the moment. Elongated Man. And then you had Gypsy, Vibe, Steel, and Vixen was another one of them. Yeah. So you could just kind of mix and match.
Yeah, exactly.
I did think that since we were talking about Crisis on Earth X a little bit, some of it kind of spun out of... it's really hard to tell where it spun out of. It started a little bit with Supergirl, but it really felt like a two-night kind of movie that had equal footing for all the shows.
I think that was their goal, but the instigation of it plot-wise was the wedding. Flash,
you're right, the wedding of Iris and Barry.
Or the attempted wedding.
The attempted wedding. Well, that's the other thing to talk about here with the Flash. There was a scene at the wedding shortly before the minister was vaporized. He was, of course, played by William Catt, who's the greatest American hero.
Yes.
Again, nice little casting stuff. But before things happen and things go south with, you know, what was it, alien invading space Nazis or whatever it was. They weren't space Nazis, but anyways. There was a moment that Barry had with one of the caterers.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I'm so happy to be here. And on IMDb, the speculation is that's their future daughter.
Interesting.
My take, and I think I'd commented at the time, is I thought it was going to be actually their granddaughter.
Yeah, that's what you told me.
XS, which is a member of the Legion of Superheroes. But this would presumably be the mother of.
Well, her advice to him was to remember to say I do. And I would just like to note, nowhere in any of those four parts did he say I do.
Mm-hmm.
They skipped the I do's.
As with many TV marriages, it ultimately comes down to there's somebody who just happens to be ordained.
You know, I've been tempted to get ordained on the internet just so I could be that person who happens to be ordained should the moment arise.
We should look into what it would take to do that just for the hell of it. There are a couple of those things where it's like you go through an online course and you could be, you know, ordained, or you could be, I don't know, what else there would be, but there are other things of that sort. It'd just be funny. It does make me wonder if that moment, though, is going to play out later in the season.
Mm.
In other words, is there payoff for that or not? Because I think with where they left off here with Barry, there's going to be payoff for what we had seen, I guess, last season, season before. At one point, we'd seen a flash forward where he's in jail.
Well, and I found it very interesting when Barry was telling himself, don't run. In part because earlier in that episode, Iris was mentioning the whole, you can speed clean. He could have cleaned up the crime scene. He could have removed the dead body. He could have made the crime scene.
He knew he didn't evaporate. Do it, so he didn't have to clean up the crime scene.
Yeah, yeah. It was a don't run, trust the system.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting to me.
I am wondering if we're going to have a couple of episodes where he is at Iron Heights or wherever and sneaks out at night to be the Flash.
Well, he's now in Iron Heights, presumably, which is where several people he's arrested are.
Yeah.
Including some of the people off the bus.
I don't know how soon he'll get to Iron Heights because the next episode title, I believe, and let me double check this real quick, is The Trial of the Flash.
True.
One of the things that's interesting about that is that was one of the major storylines in the 80s for The Flash. And he was being tried for murder in the comics, murdering the Reverse Flash, who had attempted to murder the woman he was about to marry. Flash was a little gung-ho on this because by that point, the Reverse Flash had already murdered Iris a couple of years earlier, and he was now going after, I think it was Fiona Webb was the new girlfriend. So I like how they do pay homage to comic book storylines and stuff like that way, even while charting a fresh new course in some characters and some directions.
Nice.
I'd like to see them bring in some character that becomes like an iconic part of the Flash franchise in the comics or whatever, something that is a Harley Quinn or a, not necessarily a villain, but something that is just a meaningful enough contribution from the show that it's like, yeah, this we should have.
Yeah.
And I don't know what form that would take. I mean, the closest I can think so far is kind of Joe, but in the comics, the relationship between Barry and Iris is of a different nature. In other words, they didn't grow up together in the same house. I thought that was a cool twist here, but it's hard to bring that into the comics.
Yeah.
And H.R. Wells, I don't think, is the type that is, oh, well, he's so brilliant, we've got to pull him in.
No.
But they're doing a good job here, and while I think the writing is tighter, I'm not going to say I think this is the best season. They've had some good runs. I'd be a little hard-pressed at the moment to say what I did think the best season was. I'd have to give that some thought. Because there are parts of every season I really like. Parts of it is like really you had to end or start on Flashpoint, and that set a certain thing up. It's another speedster, things like that.
Yeah.
But I don't think this has quite captured some of the coolness or spectacle or whatever that can be with The Flash. But after, I think, first season, that was a little hard because they covered so much there.
True.
So I'm enjoying it. Anything you've got in terms of either what we've seen so far or what you're thinking they're going to do rest of the season?
Nothing to think of. It hasn't been, for me, as light and happy as it originally was.
Which is funny because I think they've really tried to lighten Barry a lot.
Yes, since Savitar.
Yeah.
They've tried to go back towards lighter and happier.
Lighter with him, a little heavier with Iris.
Yes.
Weight of the world on her, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. We put Cisco through the ringer last season, and he's been coming out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Snow has been going through turmoil mostly last season, and she's still coming out of that.
I'd like for them to end this season on a little bit happier of a note to where when we go into the next season, it's kind of all things are firing on all cylinders. They've gelled. They're really in a groove. And the big bad comes and they just hit it without breaking a stride sort of a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I would almost do next season two big bads. One, that man, they are just in their groove. And normally this would have taken all season, but they're ready. They're in sync. They are in their A game and they take them out in three episodes. You're like, wow. But then somebody else who's really not as big of a threat or whatever, but either slips by their radar, throws them off their game or something.
Yeah.
Because they get cocky or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Well, the one I found surprisingly amusing so far was Danny Trejo as Gypsy's father.
It was funny, but it was a little...
over the top?
I was almost going to say cliche. You're not good enough for my daughter. And
yeah.
It was a good episode, and I thought the Cisco character had a lot to work with there.
Yeah.
So for character building on those two, it was really well done.
Yeah.
I'm curious if there's a long-term plan for that relationship.
Me too.
I hope so. I'd like to see that character get involved of Gypsy and her father and maybe some others in like the crossover type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to see them do, I want to say as a crossover because I want it as a crossover, but I don't want it like a Crisis on Earth X crossover.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I almost want a crossover between Alex on Supergirl,
mm-hmm.
Joe, Quentin on Arrow, and I'm not sure who you would pull from Legends of Tomorrow, but kind of the...
Amaya.
I was thinking kind of the cop detective, but the regular person.
Well, I was thinking Amaya, because she's the down-to-earth, mature, level-headed one.
I was thinking almost more the one who gets left behind when the action's out there kind of a thing.
True.
I would almost use Quentin for that, to be honest. You do Quentin and you do Diggle. You do Diggle as the Arrow representative. You do Quentin as the one from Legends of Tomorrow. But something where there's a little bit more interplay between the shows and the characters that wouldn't normally interact.
Yeah.
And explore that side of things. Because we are now 5 full seasons in on Arrow, mm-hmm. plus this partial. 3 full seasons in on Flash, so that's 8 right there. 2 full seasons on both Legends and Supergirl.
Yeah.
This is now, I believe, the longest number of seasons for a TV superhero universe.
Yeah, that would make sense.
By at least 2 years over Smallville. As for number of episodes, given the half seasons we're already at, I would think so. I'd have to double check. They may have had slightly longer seasons in Smallville. But there's, a richness of this universe that's kind of fun.
Yeah, well, the big belly burger, the CC jitters, the fact that you feel like you know the towns.
Mm-hmm.
There's a depth and a detail that they've taken the time to give us. It's really nice.
Yeah. I hope if they ever get to a point of doing a Crisis on Infinite Earths and kind of collapse stuff down to where you could have National City in the same world as Keystone and Central and Star City and such, that you could kind of have part of an episode where it is a CatCo broadcast complete with commercials from...
Yes.
CC Jitters, Big Belly Burger, Star Labs, or whatever.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, wrap it up in a bow there.
Yeah.
Because I do think for some of these shows, there's an opportunity for a what does the world look like from the news perspective, the TV perspective, you know, that sort of a thing. Kind of a Channel 52 special on.
Yeah.
But we'll see where they go. Again, I like what they're doing. I think where they ended on this 9th episode with the Thinker and stuff, a definite bit of a game changer, kind of puts things in an interesting twist. Where they left Barry, it's like, okay, it makes sense. A little out of the blue, but it worked. They led up to it fairly.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're going to go with some of the other characters. It's not as clear. I am hoping for a better costume for Elongated Man.
Yes.
But we will give that time. The character's growing on me. They just need to tone him down a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
And he needs to become more useful in the field.
Yes.
So, anything else? Or hold off until we've seen the rest of the season?
I think that does it for the first 9.
Cool. So we have just finished watching the season finale of Flash. We had recorded already up through the mid-season hiatus, which is when DeVoe died and Barry was framed for the death. At that point, DeVoe went into Brainstorm, I think it was.
Dominic,
yeah. And over the course of this half of the season, DeVoe went into at least 2 or 3 other people. The Luck Girl, obviously Ralph. I thought there might have been one in between. There might not have been.
There was. There was the Music Girl, because Ralph fell in love with the Music Girl shortly before.
Was it the Music Girl or the one with the Luck?
No, the luck girl was in jail with
Right, okay. They Barry. Went through a couple of different people.
Yeah, because he took three at once when he took the luck girl.
Yeah. We got the whole Barry in jail for a little bit, and...
The warden betraying Barry.
Yeah. They never really seemed to... I mean, they had phases of the season.
Yeah.
And that phase, the prison aspect, once they were done, they were done.
Mm-hmm.
They rarely ever even referenced it again. I mean, a time or two, but they didn't really touch back. Like, geez, they've got a big problem at the prison to go fix, or presumably it was all resolved.
Well, and I'm trying to recall if we got completion on, we did. We got completion on the prisoner he gave hope. The guy who was actually innocent.
Yes, I think he wound up getting out.
Barry flashed him out.
That's right, he just took him out.
Yeah.
And then we got a number of things over the later half of the season here with the waitress from the wedding.
Yes.
She shows up a couple of times, and again, we get her there at the finale. I was surprised when they killed off Ralph and had DeVoe take over that body. I never thought DeVoe's plan for why these 12 metas, why these particular powers, was exceedingly well explained.
I didn't think the how he could determine which powers a person got was well explained.
That's a very fair point. There was a lot of it with this guy as a thinker, a planner, etc. And even at the end, I never really felt his plan made a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, if he's so smart, why does he need everybody else to be stupider?
Yeah.
If anything, he should try to make them smarter or at least more compliant.
Well, and his belief that technology was ruining the world, so people should be stupider. I didn't quite put those two together.
So he should use technology to make people stupider.
Yeah.
Because if they're stupid, they can't make new technology.
Yeah.
I as with many supervillains, the game plan's usually not well thought out.
Yeah.
Because in a lot of cases, if they could do whatever they're going to do, they could have found a viable, marketable product out of their ability or whatnot.
I spent at least 3 episodes wanting his wife Marlise to turn on him.
It took far too long for that to happen, and she kind of got off the hook pretty easy at the end.
Yeah.
Because she was complicit with a lot of this.
Yes.
And just, okay, walk off.
She testified against Barry and participated in the frame job.
The fact that she never did anything there at the end to, I'll help clear your name.
Yeah.
Because Barry never got the message Captain Singh left at the beginning of the episode there at the finale.
Yeah.
And that was just a, hey, we're going to have him be a police forensics guy again next season.
Yeah.
They did a decent job of tying off the DeVoe storyline, giving it a potential of if they had wanted to do yet another episode, they could have, you know, but fortunately they chose not to and literally pulled the plug on that.
Yeah.
But then to end on a note of what looks like next season's going to be almost a Flashpoint 2.0 sort of a thing, surprised me a little, and I didn't consider that particularly good payoff for the daughter.
I agree. I don't know what I wanted the payoff on her to be, but what they chose, I didn't care for.
Yeah, I'm hoping some of what happened in the season gets played on next and makes all of that make more sense and pay off better. I really don't know that introducing yet another speedster is what the show needs. But having done that, we've got the potential next season to have kind of the final swan song or whatever of Jay Garrick.
Because
he's ready to retire, but he can come back for one more thing. Whoever his protege is, we got Wally, we've got Barry, we've got Jesse, and now we've got Nora.
Yeah.
So that's half a dozen speedsters just right there. Question is, what do you need that many speedsters to handle?
Yeah.
Now, I will say the episode they did with having to stop the exploding bomb.
That was well done.
That was very interesting. And there was actually a little payoff later on.
Mm-hmm.
But having to where there's essentially a nuclear bomb that has been triggered is starting to explode, but you've got a speedster or two, actually three at one point, that have kicked into high gear and it's okay, what do we do now?
Yeah.
And they had already teased that Flash could bring people into kind of that speed time or Flash time or whatever they called it.
Flash time.
Was good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're trying to play fair, and I appreciate that.
Well, I thought they came up with some shockingly good payoff for Cecile's mind reading.
That whole she got mind-reading powers and telepathy from being pregnant made zero sense.
And was worthless, and was just a gimmick and a game until that final episode when it was actually, okay, you were using it towards something.
If the kid winds up being telepathic?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yes.
But I have no reason to believe that's going to happen. There were a few other things that they built up that I don't think had payoff this season. Eminette.
Oh, yeah.
Was one of them.
She was hard for me to get a handle on. She came, she went. I wasn't sure what they thought they were doing with her. And she seemed to be playing into the Killer Frost storyline more than the DeVoe storyline.
I would agree with that, but I think the Killer Frost storyline was one that we didn't get a good conclusion on this season.
No, we did not.
We get the, she's always had that aspect of her long before the accident, and then they just drop it. I mean, I wasn't expecting a full thing because they were running out of episodes by the time they did it. Mm. But that's, it's an odd thing to carry from one season to the next.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what their game plan is on that. I don't know. Maybe I've just gotten so used to the season arc wrap things up pretty well or end on a blatant cliffhanger as they've done a time or two both here and in Arrow and Legends for that matter. And then kind of kick off the next season. To have those kinds of subplot type things dangling makes it seem like the next season would be a little less accessible to new viewers.
I think as viewers, we're more concerned about accessibility than they are as writers.
And yes.
I think as writers, they don't view each season as a novel, and I wish they would.
I think they kind of do, because they've got the big bad of like DeVoe for the full season. What they kicked off the season with is the plot line they ended with, and it was true. Major throughout.
Well, and more stories that I'm reading, both from the novellas to the flat-out novels, have these subplot threads that weave from one to the next, and they think that's part of what ties a series together.
Well, in the comics, when I first started reading, you would have the plot of the issue, and then what was going on in the lives of the characters or the subplot stuff was the glue between mm-hmm. the issue-to-issue adventures.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the way, that changed from having a plot that was beginning, middle, and end in an issue to now it's spanning multiple issues.
Yeah.
And even then, the subplots are usually within that arc that gets collected to a trade paperback. And I guess I'm kind of not just projecting that here to this show, but that seems to be a common writing technique for television
mm-hmm.
where you've got the episodic, you know, beginning, middle, and end. You've got the arc for the season.
Yeah.
You're going to have subplots, and some of which I expect to go from season to season because it's just the life of the character.
Well, I guess the thing is they treated the Killer Frost situation on par with Cecile's pregnancy. And I view pregnancies as the baby comes when the baby comes, whereas the Killer Frost situation felt like it should have reached more of a conclusion within the season.
To me, the difference is they took Killer Frost out of the picture with a let's get her back.
Yes.
And didn't follow through on that.
Yeah.
Now, that means that, you know, Caitlin will definitely be around next season. Not that I think there was any question of that. But there was a bit at the finale of this when Harrison had said, I'm going back to my Earth, that we got the shot of Barry, Iris, Cisco, and Caitlin.
And it felt like they're the four of the show.
That's the core of the show.
Yeah.
But it almost felt like, you know, we've just got the kids now.
Yeah. That was how I felt when they did that, too.
Or maybe that's a reflection of our age, but it's...
No, but it felt like they were very clearly saying, this is our core cast, these are our central characters, we're making sure you know that these are the people we think are at the heart of the show.
To me, it was the perennial mentor within Star Labs leaving, that they've graduated. And there was a, well, this is an end of an era, and kind of, sort of.
Yeah, but they were also, in a way, making it clear Joe West isn't here, Wally wasn't here yet. They were making it clear that they were doing this not at the West house during the party when yes. other people were present. Dibney wasn't in the room.
I guess my question is, from that scene I'm not certain Tom Cavanaugh, who plays Harrison Wells, will be back next season.
To me, it felt like that scene was saying, we only promise you these four people next year.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's how the scene played to me.
I expect Joe and Cecile to be around.
So do I.
But maybe a little busier doing the parenting thing.
Yeah.
I expect Ralph to stick around.
So do I.
Because it'd be a little odd to write him out at this point.
And yet, with the captain saying, hey, Barry, we've figured out your work situation, they're not committing to having Ralph around. Because Ralph was Barry's PI partner.
I think Ralph could do that solo again.
But to me, it's a, we hadn't gotten him back on steady footing at the police department, then we're committing to having Ralph around for the day job.
I don't know. Because they went most of the second half of the season without Barry having a day job.
It's amazing how many people on TV don't need an income.
It is amazing. I'd like to figure out how they do that.
Yeah.
One of the many reasons to become a
character in a TV show?
Choice character on a TV show. Got to be careful what kind of character.
That's true.
Don't know that I want to be the comedic relief. Too many pies to the face or something. There were a few other things, like why Sisko couldn't vibe the thinker and stuff, that didn't feel totally thought out.
Yeah.
For a season where they were going up against somebody who just outthought the Flash.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed because it really was an opportunity for the writers to show just how clever they could be.
Mm.
And if it was one of those where this is somebody who just did some meticulous planning, engineered a couple of things, and really put the Flash in just a no-win situation, that would be one thing. But it almost felt like it was coming out of the blue and things of, well, I've thought of everything. But we never saw it.
I've thought of everything except emotion. And I totally agree. We never saw, it's like the math teacher who always said, show me the work.
Yes. To me, it's a difference between the current MacGyver and the original MacGyver. The original one, you saw him actually building the stuff and he'd explain a bit of it.
Yeah.
Here with the thinker, he had this grand plan. There were certain things I've thought of everything you could do. That's fine. But if we don't see him doing things, setting things into play, then I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And then episodes later, it's like, oh, he had thought that through.
Well, all the work I saw being done by Marlies.
Yes, she did a lot of the heavy lifting.
So to me, that undermined the thinker.
It's interesting because the character she played of the mechanic was one that I recall mainly from, I think it was All-Star Squadron. And if I've got the character right, it was almost more of an android kind of a thing.
Mm.
But I read that when it came back in the 80s. So again, might be a little off. And having somebody who can do that kind of mechanics or whatever, makes sense. The thinker is a Firestorm villain.
Mm, interesting.
But they've pulled a lot of stuff from this show, as much from Firestorm as from The Flash, given that Firestorm was a perennial backup feature for The Flash for quite some time in the 80s, which is roughly kind of sort of the era of The Flash they're drawing from. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's intriguing that, you know, characters like Vibe didn't I guess he existed in the late 80s because it would have been the Detroit era around that era of the Justice League or whatever. But I think that the trial of the Flash and stuff like that, again, reminiscent of stories they were telling around the end of that original Silver Age Flash run.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of things where I can see where they're drawing inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
From the comics, yet not just doing let's take that and do a straight adaptation. Because the status quo is a little different, not a little, it's radically different. And things just work differently on television.
True.
So I think it was a fun season. I think it was good.
Well, it was interesting watching Barry with the whole, I can't just run. I have to trust my team. I have to trust the justice and the legal system. And I have to let the process work. Because when he found DeVoe's body, it was so tempting to just flash out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So watching that play out was interesting.
Yeah, the character made some definite choices this season.
Yeah.
And was a bit more responsible than maybe he'd been, you know, as a result of Flashpoint.
Yeah.
So we're seeing the character grow and evolve, which is nice. it would be fun near the end of the series for them to somehow go back towards the beginning of the series and really just kind of highlight how much some of these characters have evolved.
Well, it was interesting seeing how Sisko and Harry were relating at the end.
Yes, I thought they did a lot of really good stuff character-wise there.
They did great stuff, especially when you consider the roller coaster that Sisko has gone through with the various incarnations of Wells, and just the whole having to look at each Wells as the unique person they are.
I thought Sisko and Wells had a very good interplay, much like I thought Sisko and Caitlin had earlier on.
Yes.
Different mechanic.
Yeah.
But same sort of level of interplay.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas she didn't have quite that much interplay with Sisko this season.
They've stiffened her up, I almost want to say, since Killer Frost came in.
Yeah. I think part of it was her arc was so dual nature just with the Killer Frost Caitlin aspect.
Yeah.
That you get a weird triangle situation there almost if you introduce Sisko heavily into it. I'm again curious where they go with all of this next season and such.
Yeah.
Likewise, I'm curious how long Nora, the new speedster, sticks around.
Yes.
Is that going to be a couple of things, then she's out of the picture, or is she joining the cast? Because that would change the dynamic.
Well, how awkward is it to get to know your daughter as a grown adult before you have your daughter?
Yes. Well, and is she going to make some kind of a comment as to the kid that Cecile just had?
Yes.
You know, giving us a sense of that child's fate or what have you.
Yeah.
I still think they're doing a really good job with the show, and I like the more upbeat nature it tends to have.
Yes.
Versus, say, Arrow and whatnot. I thought it was good to bring Wally back after he did spend a little time on Legends, but it was clear he's just visiting.
Yes.
So he's going to stay over there. The shows are each, the different CW shows, unique and different. You can see where they're from the same, you know, kind of production company.
Yeah.
There are certain truisms that apply to all of the shows, certain storytelling conventions. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're doing a good job. I think they've built up a very rich universe here.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see them continue to explore it and expand it.
Yes.
And, you know, see where they go with all of that.
Yeah. I'm curious what next season holds.
I really think we're going to have, I don't say a repeat of Flashpoint, because it's not it. It sounds like Nora has fixed something or changed something, tweaked something she shouldn't have.
Well, she did something she shouldn't have. That's what she knows. She made a mistake.
She made a mistake. And the question is, what is the mistake? What's the ramifications of the mistake? And how much can Barry and company help out?
Yeah.
Being on the, I don't say the receiving side of a Flashpoint, but in the not knowing the future ramifications sort of a thing.
Yeah.
It almost reeks of at least Barry having to journey into the future for a bit.
Mm.
And who knows, it could be something that sets up the crossover with Legends or something.
That'd be interesting.
Typically, it's around the 8th episode they do the crossover.
Yeah.
And I've heard for next season that Batwoman may be somehow connected to it, which would be interesting and different and something they'd have a few episodes of every show to at least build to if they want to.
Yeah.
But I think certainly they've got a few things with the various shows to, I don't say dig themselves out of, but resolve before they can kind of get a clean start for any new direction next season.
Yeah.
And you could argue that what they did with Nora here at the end was just taking the start of next season and pulling it into this season a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't really feel that way so much with Arrow because it was a resolution of this season that landed them in the status quo they're in.
Yeah.
But
the way they ended this season of Flash has me worrying about how they defeated DeVoe. Was she not supposed to help punch the satellite? Was that her mistake?
I guess the question is, when we saw the time rewind, was that her going through time and redoing the sequence of events?
Yeah, so that it was two people punching instead of one.
In other words, she couldn't have saved the Flash, because otherwise she couldn't exist.
Right, but she could help him punch.
It almost implies that we'll start next season or in the first episode have the gang at Star Labs replaying that sequence and her explaining, here's what I had to do and why, here's the ramifications and why.
Yeah.
Could be fun, could be interesting, could be a colossal mistake. Depends how much it feels like a redo of Flashpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, when certain shows go back to a well over and over and over again, and yes, I'm thinking Hydra on S.H.I.E.L.D.
You hope there's really fresh water in the well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to find some new stuff. I mean, this season, not going up against a speedster, I thought was a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
I think they could have executed a little bit better and not made him so powerful by the end.
Yeah.
It also comes down to what is the threat for next season going to be?
Yeah.
And I'd like it to be not another speedster, not necessarily a time manipulation or foretold thing like Iris dying or whatever. But I don't know what I would consider a new, fresh, that would be interesting kind of approach.
Yeah, I don't know.
So again, I'm enjoying the series. It's one that we tend to stay reasonably current on.
Yeah, because I like it. And like you said, it's the brighter, sunnier show.
It's a little less dark and dreary than Arrow can sometimes be.
Well, you've got two love stories going on, really. Because you've got Iris and Barry, as well as Joe and Cecile.
Yes.
And so that tends to kind of up the bright and happy quotient.
Well, and it's, with Legends, there's a little bit of almost goofy silly.
Yes.
That this is humorous, but not goofy silly.
Yeah.
So each of the shows have a slightly different tone, which is part of what makes it so fun when they interact.
Yeah.
So anything else? We good?
I think we're good.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.